Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Thursday, November 29th, 2018. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello. It is very good to be here. I'm very much enjoying it already. Yes.
Brian brought a couple friends with him. Right from his head. And also
had,
with me.
I've had coffee. I normally have not had coffee before recording.
Yay. Buckle up, kids. Also with me today is John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi. I'd be a happy person.
Oh, no. I have no idea what's going to happen, everybody. So here we go. The first topic we have to talk about today is the Apple TV, and not just the Apple TV, but specifically the 4K Apple TV. John, you wrote us a little piece yesterday to help people sort that out. You want to talk us through it?
Sure. We're in the holiday buying season. I'm sure many listeners and readers are pondering the prospect of 4K television this holiday season. And a 4K, if you're an Apple fan, an Apple TV 4K is probably on your mind. So there's some things you need to know. So I kind of ran through it.
Okay. So what is the first thing people need to know? Because I think when I think of the 4K Apple TV, the first thing I think of is, do you have a 4K television currently?
Yeah, I cover that in the article. That you really have to, getting ahead of ourselves, but you have to marry the Apple TV to the right 4K television because of the HDR aspects. So to make a long story short, Apple TV supports Dolby Vision, HDR10, and HLG HDR modes. And so you want to make sure you pick a TV that supports those modes, which means you want to stay away from Samsung. Panasonic's not sold in the U.S. anymore. It's in Europe. And TP Vision TVs are sold in Europe. So,
okay.
That's something to be aware of. You want to match the HDR capability of your 4K TV that you're researching to the capabilities of the Apple TV. The other thing that you need to know is that not much has changed over the past year. There were some dramatic changes in 2015, 16, 17 in terms of HDR. But things have settled down greatly in the industry. Thank goodness, at last.
And so that took long enough.
Has been about refining the TVs, getting the Dolby Vision uniformly working across devices, making sure everybody's matched up on the same software version of it. And the Blu-ray situation is starting to settle out in terms of HDR support for Dolby Vision on 4K discs, which is another different subject because it doesn't relate directly to the Apple TV. But probably the first thing you need to know is that because things haven't changed, you can go out and buy a year-old Apple TV 4K without fear. There's no update coming that I've heard of. No rumors. Nothing's changed.
Okay.
The Apple TV 4K was released on September 22nd, 2017.
Yeah, but Apple doesn't actually release new products anymore, so.
That's right. Right.
Oh, right.
4 years before we see a new one, so.
So, if you don't have a 4K TV, and maybe you just want to maybe future-proof somebody as a gift, like, I know they have a flat screen that they can, you know, poke an HDMI cable into the side of, but it may or may not be 4K, but I want to get them this, then that way when they do upgrade that television, they will have the 4K capability. Does that work?
I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Because of this mismatch issue. So they may not have the right cables. They may not have the right system set up. They may not be ready to absorb an Apple TV 4K into their system. If they already have an Apple TV, that's a good thing to know. You can plug and play. You can remove the fourth generation Apple TV and plug in an Apple TV 4K. They have the same connectors.
Okay.
And everything will work, and it'll still drive your high-definition TV. Mm-hmm. There'll be some handshaking, and it'll say, oh, this guy can only absorb an HD signal, so I'm not going to try to send him anything 4K.
Okay.
And so it'll be good to go. And so in that sense, you're future-proofed. But then the receiver, the gift, has to figure out what TV to match it to.
Well, I tend to think that people who are giving gifts like this have covered that base in one way or another, whether it's I'm there in person and I already know you're going to need an HDMI cable or an HDMI switcher or something, you know, in order to make that happen. And part of the gift is I'm giving you this little thing, what you hook in the side of TV, and I'm going to help you get it all set up so that, you know, you're signed into Netflix and you've done all these things, and I'll help you get it set up with the remote app on your phone and everything, and get it all put together. So in my mind, that's how Apple TV as a gift tends to go. And that's only because I've given a couple as gifts, and that's always how it goes, is I will be the person to crawl behind the TV and set it all up and help you get
kind of like technical support person. Right. And you're going to guide them through it. Yeah. Then that works.
Okay. So, yeah. Brian, do you have any Apple TVs on your gift giving list?
Not on my gift giving list. I've got two of them. I've got two of them in my home that I use.
Okay. Are either of them 4K? Have you gone that road yet?
I got into it with 4K model. only one of my TVs is 4K, but you know, that's how I roll. And my favorite thing about Apple TV 4K has to be how it won't remember that HomePod is the sound output. And I've got to reset that constantly. That delights me to no end. It's one of those things that just works. It's just magical.
It's a special hidden feature that you get the joy of introducing them all over again.
Yeah. Also, I can't stand the Apple's remote is terrible.
You know, that's really my complaint about the Apple TV. I jumped in with I inherited an original that was the mini body style, as we would say, if it was a car, the one that looked like a mini but just didn't have a disk drive in the front. I inherited one of those, used it for a while, and then sprung for the third gen. And then from the third, I have a third and a fourth now. I don't have a 4K one yet. And I like them, but I'm not trying to introduce them to HomePod. But I still find that the remote drives me up a wall. And the 4K remote with the little ring around the one button doesn't help. So one feature I really do like about the Apple TV is that you can hook it to a variety of other remote controls. And because I can hook it to my Logitech Universal, that means that I can also tell the A-Lady, turn on Apple TV, and she'll do it.
That makes sense. Yeah, and I should go down that route, because in general, I love my Apple TVs. This, despite the fact that I am a DirecTV Now subscriber, which is their cord cutting, streaming only service.
Yeah.
And their Apple TV app is one of the worst software experiences I've ever had. And I'm not even trying to get a laugh. That's not a laugh line. Okay, I was a DirecTV customer for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I was a DirecTV customer is because they embraced TiVo at an early age. And then they started lying about like how they incorporated TiVo technology into their own DVR, which was a complete and total lie.
Yes.
And I was told by multiple DirecTV installation people that lie. And when I challenged them on it, they told me that they were instructed to say that. But that's beside the point, too. DirecTV's box was still better than most of the other cable boxes, if not all the other cable boxes out there.
That's true.
So my issue isn't so much the interface with the DirecTV Now app. It's its functionality. It is beyond abysmal. Okay, for instance, sound will just stop. That's really cool. What I really like it when my program will just stop. That's really cool.
Not cool, Brian, the other thing.
Sometimes it remembers the shows that I've recorded, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it will actually let me use the skip backwards or forwards feature, and sometimes I could go on and on and on. That app is crap, and I still love my Apple TV.
Well, let me tell you
the technical capability of a lot of companies to develop these streaming apps. Apple does a really good job. Netflix does a really good job. Amazon, I have found, has resolution issues. It takes it a while to kick in. Netflix figures out right away what you can absorb in terms of resolution. And on Amazon Prime, I see maybe the first minute of the show, it's still blocky and trying to figure out the resolution. But Amazon's okay. But you're right, Brian. It requires a lot of sophistication and expertise to build these streaming apps.
But there's having a streaming app that gives you a good experience, and there's Brian recorded 10 shows. I'm only going to show you three. So,
or I'm not going to show you any of the ones that have been
recorded. You recorded shows? Yeah. Yeah, Brian,
your virtual DVR, are you talking about?
Yeah, and that's a service that's in beta. So just to, you know, to be fair and honest, it's absolutely a beta feature for DirecTV Now. But yeah, the whole I would not recommend DirecTV Now on Apple TV for anybody. I don't know how it is on Roku or how it is on a Slingbox, mm-hmm. but I would not recommend it on Apple TV, and I don't think it's Apple TV's fault.
Well, I wouldn't recommend regular Apple TV or regular DirecTV. I absolutely recommend regular Apple TV. And the reason for that is because my mom has DirecTV, and they changed all of the guides, all the guide interface and all of the UI with the cable boxes. And she hates it now, and everything's really little, and she can't read it unless she walks up to the TV. And it made her angry, and I told her, like, I wonder if AT&T did this. And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, AT&T and DirecTV, and they're together now. And so, and she said, you know, I was going to ask you if you would help me switch our phones over. She's on Verizon now. I was going to ask you if you would help me change to AT&T, but if AT&T is responsible for this, I refuse to give them any more money.
Yeah, AT&T's so, cable box has always been particularly bad.
Yes.
DirecTV Now was I don't know how long it was in development, but it was certainly rolled out under AT&T's tenure. So maybe they're to blame for the DirecTV Now app on Apple TV. And I'd actually love to hear from any listeners who have used DirecTV Now on another device. I'm wondering if it's better on other devices.
Yes, absolutely. Please let us know that.
I'd like to stick up for DirecTV a little bit. I've been a customer for a long time, and I went through that change in the user interface. I don't know who caused mm-hmm. it. It had some wrinkles at first. It had some confusing issues with deleting a single show or deleting a group, but they've cleaned that up and made it clearer which kind of thing you're deleting. And I've gotten used to the interface, and I've had a high definition DVR for a long time. It's worked flawlessly. I have enjoyed it greatly, and the channel guide is growing on me. So I'm happy. I'm a happy person.
Well, it's growing on my mom like a fungus, because apparently she's still mad about it. I tried, and I'm like, can we roll it back? And you know, there was a whole lot of no.
No, you can't roll it back.
So yeah, she's still pretty grumpy about it. So, hi mom, in case you're listening, we're talking about your cable now. So I want to go ahead and move on from here and talk about our sponsors. Our first sponsor is Eve Energy, and you can find out more about them at evehome.com. And Eve Energy is really cool. It's this little device, and you can use it to switch appliances on and off. You can set timers for them, so you can have the coffee maker already going when you come downstairs and really need a cup of coffee, like Brian had this morning. You can use it to monitor the amount of power that your devices are using. You can use it to monitor the things that are in your house when you're not even home. And even when you are home, you're able to do everything that you want to do thanks to HomeKit integration. So all you have to do is tell your voice assistant, S-Lady, what you need to turn on or off, and she's happy to control that for you. It's super great. It's really, really cool to be able to do this, and you don't have to have a bridge in order to use it, which you guys know is always my complaint about that kind of thing. And as I said, you can find out more about them at evehome.com. And our next sponsor today is Jamf Now, which is a particular favorite of mine as we head into tech support season. And Jamf Now is a device management setup that allows you to add Mac OS and iOS devices to your dashboard. You can manage them. You can keep track of what operating system everybody's on. You can keep track of different settings. So if somebody's continually nuking their Wi-Fi settings or somehow is managing to munch email settings all the time, you can just push those settings out again remotely from wherever you are to wherever their phone is and get everything working again. They will let you have 3 devices free forever on your account, and additional devices are $2 a month. This works, like I said, macOS devices, iOS devices. It's very easy to use. I really like it. You can head over to the Jamf website at jamf.com/TDO and sign up for your free account today. So it's good stuff. And the other thing I wanted to talk to both of you about today, since we're already talking about TV, is YouTube it turns out, is starting to move away from scripted programming. Now,
scaling back.
Okay.
As Apple scales up and Netflix scales on and Amazon scales on.
Yeah, so YouTube's running the opposite direction of kind of where everybody else is. So if they're scaling back scripted programming, are they scaling up something else?
No. So first of all, the report, Charlotte wrote it up for us.
Yes.
And she was referencing the Hollywood Reporter, who actually broke the news.
Okay.
Let me. I'm making some sausage here while I ask this question. Let me ask a question. Name an original YouTube show.
Can't think of one.
There was one that I can almost remember the name of, but yeah, I don't know. The only ones I can think of aren't like officially YouTube shows. They're things like, you know, Chad Vader, which I have enjoyed, you know, on YouTube, but is not YouTube's show.
So I was a YouTube TV user briefly. It wasn't okay. My choice. I actually had roommates at the time, and they wanted to do this. And their app wasn't so bad. I would actually even add that their Apple TV app wasn't so bad. But I don't think I really watched any of the original shows. But so what they're doing is scaling back the original stuff that they're developing, and future original shows will be ad-supported.
Oh, Karate Kid. Was that a YouTube show?
I don't know. Was it?
The new, they got Ralph Macchio and Billy Zabka to come back and play their characters, and it was a new show, and I want to say that was the YouTube show.
Wait, I was trying to find this.
I hope it is. I don't remember what they called it. But yeah, it was the two guys from Karate Kid. But they're grown up now. Oh, here we go. And here's here a show.
I've got a list. Like, okay, give me a ding or a ding ding or something when I name one that you know.
Okay.
Broke, Lifeline, Step Up, High Water, Impulse, Origin. Nothing?
Mm. Yeah.
So Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai! That would be it. Yes.
You were thinking of, yeah. Yeah, they've got another, that's five. They've got another 12, another 18 shows altogether.
Okay.
And like none of them are really household names, but like, you know, name an original Amazon show.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Man in the High Castle.
Grand Tour.
Name an original Hulu show.
Castle Rock. Handmaid's Tale is the other one that's on Hulu that I know.
Future Man, by the way. If you haven't watched Future Man.
I have not.
Kelly, you're going to love Future Man.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Future Man.
Jack Ryan.
I will be paying for Hulu to watch Future Man.
Okay.
All right. And I love The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it's Future Man that's going to get me to pay for it. And then, of course, we could probably all name a jillion Netflix original shows.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube. I mean, and I know there's a little bit of bias here in this particular three-way conversation, right? None of us are big Google fans.
Right. But if it was an interesting show and if I'd heard enough good things about it, I would have at least tried out the YouTube service. But I'm also not a cord cutter, so I'm not automatically in the market for another streaming service.
Well, here's my thesis. My thesis is that they're scaling back on original scripting, mm-hmm. original scripted programming, and planning on making future shows available ad-supported. Mm-hmm. Because they aren't or did not get a lot of traction with the cord cutting streaming service.
Okay.
And so they're shifting, you know, the folks that run YouTube are generally speaking pretty smart, and they're shifting their strategy to make something that works. I mean, like, really, that many original shows after being around for a couple of years isn't a lot of original shows. I mean, I think Apple has purchased way more shows than these, and they haven't even launched any of them yet.
Right.
I have a theory about that, Brian.
Okay.
So I've written about this, and I've seen other authors write about it too. While we know that there are the cable and satellite companies are losing subscribers, it's a small percentage Yeah, the numbers are good size, but in terms of the total audience, it's not a significant fraction. So there's a big fuss made about cord cutting, and it's a thing to talk about. But most people, in my experience, have found that a good graceful combination of cable for the reliability, stability, and availability of sports and news, plus streaming services, is a better combination than either one alone.
Well, you know, John, that's why I went with DirecTV Now. It's precisely why I went with DirecTV Now. I didn't want to stick. I didn't want to stick a satellite on current place I'm renting here in Silicon Valley is rented.
Yeah, I understand.
Because you know, I'm not like a billionaire. And it's Silicon Valley and everything. I did want to stick a satellite thing on the roof. I didn't really want to go with U-versus TV, and Comcast is of the devil.
Yes.
So like, and I liked DirecTV when I was a DirecTV user a lot. So DirecTV Now seemed to be like just the perfect combination. It just turns out that their app on the Apple TV is god awfully bad.
Suboptimal at best.
It's bad. It is one of the worst software experiences I have ever experienced.
Wow.
I'm not saying that to be like, you know, get a laugh or to be extreme or to be hyperbolic. It is hands down the worst software experience I've ever had.
Wow.
You know, this goes back to my thesis about breaking into the market too. You know, people who may or may not have cable or satellite and have Netflix and Amazon Prime and maybe Hulu and maybe CBS All Access and HBO, some sort of thing, have to think about whether they need another premium service like Google.
Stream fatigue.
Well, I think that Google was trying to be a cord cutter option with their own premium shows as a lure. Mm-hmm. As opposed to yet another streaming service. I think they were trying to be a go-to cord cutting option because, and I will repeat, their app experience, at least on Apple TV, and I used it on iPad too, was really good. It was really solid. Mm-hmm. It was better than Hulu and infinitely better than DirecTV Now. So, So I think I had a point. It's gone.
Well, so most of what they're doing, though, isn't really like they have other ways to make YouTube a thing aside from this. And this doesn't get rid of do you want to try our paid YouTube service that I keep seeing at the bottom of YouTube videos? Right.
Well, and, you know, here's the funny thing with that. And I know that John has something he wants to say. I whined for a long time saying that if Google would give me a way to pay to use Google services without being the product, that I would do so.
Yeah, yes. There's that specter. Yeah.
And I never ponied up for the $99 a year that would let me watch YouTube videos for commercial free.
Okay.
Speaking of free, this is why I believe Apple. I believe the initial rumors that Apple Entertainment Television was going to be free to break into the market at some level, in some way, with a free service.
Still calling Natch.
I know you still disagree with me, but
Natch not going to be free.
But this failure, apparent failure on the part of Google, gives me pause thinking about Apple breaking into this similar industry.
Well, you know, okay, another thing is that YouTube is part of Google, right? Mm-hmm. In all ways, YouTube is part of Google. What does Google do? Google sells us.
Sells data, yes.
They sell
our
they
data.
Sell us.
Yeah.
They sell us.
Right.
And doing a cord cutting service and keeping their premium original scripted shows over there really is like, you know, going against the rest of the Google grain. And it makes a lot of sense, I think, from their standpoint to, you know, if they're going to keep with this advertising funded, we are the product oriented business model. Mm-hmm. I think it makes a lot of sense for them to go all in on it and focus their TV services on that too.
Okay. I agree with you on that. And for the record, for both of you, I think that the free Apple TV that people are talking about, I think it's going to be like Apple Music. Like, the first time it comes up, it's going to be like, you can have this free for 3 months. Do you want to? And you'll get a chance to sample and then start paying for it. That's what I think. I think it's going to be a trial window. I don't think it's going to be forever. So it's halfway between what you guys are saying.
No, I'm not saying. I've been saying that.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Ming Shi Kuo that's saying that it's going to be free for... Now, please keep in mind that I also said that Apple would never move iPad away from Lightning, or at least wouldn't go from Lightning to USB-C. So, you know, take what I'm saying with a big grain of salt, but there's no way they're going to charge us $10 a month for music and give away all of this premium
giveaway video that they content made
for free when Tim is so keen, they're established in the music market.
No. As Google instructs us, Apple will be hard pressed to establish itself in this streaming market.
The quality of the shows will establish Apple or not.
If only people made their decisions based only on quality, it'd be such a great world.
Quality of the shows will do it. Apple has enough of a footprint everywhere that if their shows are great, people will sign up.
I hope so, right. Too.
John, where's your bell? We have to ring it. I have to send you both back to your corners. We will continue our TV discussion on another day.
I should have it on my desk for every show.
Yes. Yes, you should. You should know better by now. All right. So, with that, we're going to go ahead and call it. But as I assure you, it will not be the last that we have on this topic. I guarantee it. With me today, I had Brian Chaffin. Thanks for coming by, Brian.
Yep, you bet. Thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
Of course. And also with me, John Martellaro. Thanks for coming by, John.
Thanks for having me. It was as well as my pleasure.
All right, this has been the Daily Observations Podcast for November 29th, 2018. I will talk to you tomorrow. And until then, be excellent to each other.